I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Off and running on a Tuesday. Welcome into Send It In, presented by BetMGM right here in the on the BetQL Network. Great to be back in the studio. We got a ton of things to get into today. We're going to be talking some Major League Baseball. We're going to dive into the Los Angeles Angels today. We're going to talk some college basketball as well. We're going to go off the glass, look at some best bets for tonight's Tuesday slate. Got some games in the Big Ten, got some games in the SEC, ACC. We'll dive into that. Kate Constable will join me in the middle of the show. We'll talk some NBA with Kate. And then one of my favorite golf tournaments of the year, Arnold Palmer Invitational. It's a Tee It Up Tuesday. We'll talk about some of the golfers I like this week out in Orlando. And then we'll give out some best bets for today. As always, we want to hear from you guys. You can go to twitch.tv/BetQL, YouTube/Odyssey Sports, and go to Twitter and Instagram at the BetQL app as well. Anything you guys like, let us know. Send it into the show. Let's have some fun over the next 30 minutes. Let's get this thing started. Glass is in session, and we're talking some big league peach here on the show as we are going to start with the Los Angeles Angels. The Angels are going to be an interesting team this season, right? All those years of Trout and Ohtani, and this team couldn't even sniff the playoffs. Didn't even get close. They brought in Joe Maddon as their manager. I thought that was the guy that was finally going to get them rolling. We know Mike Trout has only been to the playoffs one time. Anthony Rendon is back from injury for now. Made those comments a couple weeks ago about that he doesn't even enjoy really playing baseball, doesn't enjoy going to work, but he makes a lot of money to do so. He's going to start out in the DH role. Really, the Angels season, what it comes down to is their pitching staff, because right now on paper, you look at the starters that they're going to trot out there for opening day, opening weekend, what they're going to have lined up throughout the season. Reed Detmers is their number one. Yikes. Griffin Koenig is their number two. Chase Silseth, their three. Patrick Sandoval, their number four. Like, these are guys that, I mean, might not even be like four or five on rosters and pitching rotations of good teams. Obviously, the starters, they got to find some. That's been their big issues. They haven't had any pitching the last 5 or 6 years. The bullpen, they got some good arms. Bed Joyce, this young kid out of Tennessee, throws like 103 if you haven't seen him before, has an absolute arm. And then Carlos Estevez, their closer, has been okay for him. But they really need their young players to perform well. Mickey Moniak, their outfielder, was the number one overall pick years ago. Going to need him to produce. They're expecting some big things out of their young first baseman, Nolan Schnano. They're going to need him to be good as well. You got Luis Wenjifo. Zach Neto was a good rookie for them as well. Obviously, Trout, Taylor Ward in the outfield. I don't really know what to do with the Angels, though, this season. There's a part of me that kind of thinks, just wouldn't it be so baseball of the Angels to be have Trout and Ohtani for all these years and completely suck? And then Ohtani moves on, Trout stays healthy, has an MVP-type year, and the Angels just find a way to win like 80 games. Their win total's sitting at 72.5. They play in a really tough division. You got the A's, all right, fine. But then you got the Astros, the Rangers, and Seattle, who are going to be three pretty good teams. Obviously, with the balanced schedule, you're going to have to play everybody. around Major League Baseball. I mean, Angels are going to have a tough schedule. 72.5 wins, like, feels a little high. If I had to take it, I'd probably go under. But again, there's a part of me that just is a little scared of the fact that all these years, we've been wanting the Angels to be good. We say, man, this team has Trout and Ohtani. If only they can get some production from somewhere else on their team, whether it's other bats in the lineup, whether it's the pitching staff, maybe they could be okay. But I don't know. I just want to stay away from it. If I did have a play, though, it would probably be on the under. They're 50-1 to win the division. That kind of speaks to the teams in their division, but also kind of how far behind the pack the Angels have fallen. They're 20-1 to lead the league in home runs this year. That might be an angle to attack the Angels because they do have some big boppers in their order. They're probably going to be trailing in a lot of games. They're not going to get walked much. Teams are going to throw to them. Could give them an opportunity to hit some home runs. For the Angels really to be good, though, this year, for them to surprise people and come out of absolutely nowhere, Anthony Rendon's going to need to be the key. He needs to turn back in to Anthony Rendon that we saw with the Nationals. The Angels are certainly paying him to do that. You just feel for the Angels because they have had such bad luck in free agency with Josh Hamilton and Albert Pujols, really only gave him a couple good years, and then Anthony Rendon. I mean, they have tried to give Trout help. They've tried to give Ohtani help on paper. Some of these moves that they made we thought could work out. It just hasn't worked out for him. So Anthony Rendon's going to be a big key. Mike Trout staying healthy is also going to need to be a big key. Trout's one of the greatest baseball players any of us have ever seen, and he was kind of anointed that way, like his first 5 years in the league. That's how great he was, especially at the start of his career. But these last 3 years or so, he's kind of been dinged up. He's been dealing with injuries. He hasn't been the same Mike Trout. When Mike Trout's at his peak, he is a five-tool player. He's hitting for average. He's hitting for power. He's stealing bases. He's robbing home runs. And especially in today's Major League Baseball with the rule changes and the advantage that you could have as a base stealer, man, if Trout was healthy and he was in his prime, he'd be putting up the numbers that Acuña was last year. So as baseball fans, I think I speak on most people that seeing Mike Trout healthy this season would be a big win for the Angels. He is 22-1 to win American League MVP. You don't see that number very often next to Mike Trout. Never has it been this high of an odds for 22-1. At the end of the day, he still is Mike Trout. Maybe some of those voters, if the Angels are having a better season than we thought, Ohtani's gone, people will feel good about Trout staying there and sticking it out, and maybe they'll give him another MVP award. So maybe if you want a little sprinkle, Mike Trout 22-1 to win American League MVP. Let's move on, though, talk some college basketball here on Send It In as we go off the glass. Got some questions here in the chat. Parley 69. PJ, we're back today with some football. PSG Moneyline plus 230 and Dembele one shot on goal at plus 110. I like it. I know we got Champions League next week. Parley, I'm excited to see what you got cooking up for us, but PSG Moneyline plus 230 and Dembele is what you like there. And can we please get PJ to give us a full bat swing? What do you think, Parley? How's the form? Pretty good? Still got it a little bit. Let's talk some college basketball as we go off the glass. We'll start with a top 15 matchup. Number 3, Purdue against number 12, Illinois. Illinois favored by 2.5, the total 163.5. My first thought in this game is it's going to be a great game. If you like offense, this is going to be a game for you. We have another one of those games that we're going to discuss in a little bit as well. The total at 163.5, though, is a little interesting to me. These are two of the top three offenses in college basketball. Bama's number one, Illinois's number two, Purdue's number three. These two teams played earlier this year at the beginning of January, the beginning of Big Ten play. Terrence Shannon Jr. did not play for Illinois in that game. Purdue won 83-78. You're looking at the total of 163.5, 83-78. That's 161. Terrence Shannon Jr. is back. Oh, by the way, Illinois scored 80 or more points in their last 9 games. They've also scored 80 or more points in 13 of their last 14 games. Now, Purdue's a good defensive team. They're not Houston. They're not Iowa State or Tennessee on defense, but they're top 20 on defense. I just think the pace in this game, Illinois being at home, I mean, guys, they've scored 80-plus points in 13 of their last 14 games. I think there's a good chance they're getting us to 80. That defense is ranked over 100th, according to KenPom in defense. You would think Purdue is getting into the 80s as well. It's not one of my best bets. It's not going to be one of my bets towards the end of the show. But if I had to make a play in this game, I would take the over 163.5. My favorite bet of the day in college basketball. It's a stinky one. I love Georgetown tonight. +7.5 against Providence. I take some money line as well. The total is 148 in this game. Georgetown, we know, first year under Ed Cooley. He's taken over a disaster. Patrick Ewing in Georgetown, the last couple years, it's been an absolute train wreck. Ed Cooley knew year one, probably year two, he had his work cut out for him. However, the last two games that Georgetown has played at home, they've played St. John's and they have played Xavier. Two teams kind of like Providence. Two teams right there on the bubble, kind of middle of the pack in the Big East. They've lost both of those games by 5, and Providence is favored by 7.5. Why I really like this game, though, tonight is the spot for Providence. You look at all the bracketologists, Providence is either last four in, first four out. They're right there on the bubble. Their last two games that they played were against Marquette and against Villanova. Big-time games. You know who they got on deck in their regular season finale at home? UConn. You don't think they're looking forward to that game a little bit? You don't think they're kind of already game planning for UConn? Because they know if they beat UConn, that might send them in to the NCAA tournament. However, on the flip side, if you lose this game against Georgetown, that UConn game might not even matter. I think this is a terrible spot for Providence with UConn on deck and games that they just had against Marquette and against Villanova. This is those sandwich spot, look-ahead spot that we live for. Georgetown +7.5. And the money line as well. Then the next game in the ACC. This is an interesting game. Notre Dame and North Carolina. Tar Heels are favored by 15.5. The total is 138.5 in this game. Micah Strewsbury and Notre Dame, beginning of the year, they were terrible. However, they won 5 of their last 6 games in ACC play. 4 of those 5 wins have come at home. They beat Wake Forest. They beat Clemson. They've had some nice wins in ACC play. They're on the road tonight facing off against North Carolina. What's interesting about North Carolina, though, in their last 10 games, they have not been in a game that's been decided by 15 or more, by 16 or more points. They've won 7 of those 10 games, and they have not beaten anybody by 16 or more points. Yet they're laying 15.5 against a Notre Dame team that's won 5 of their last 6, that's come in red hot. Think about what Penn State did last year when Micah Strewsbury was coaching Penn State, got on that run at the end of the regular season, made it all the way to the Big Ten tournament final. They played against Purdue. They won a game in the NCAA tournament. They had Texas on the ropes. Micah Strewsbury teams tend to play better towards the end of the year. Obviously, this is year one. He wants to get some momentum going into the offseason. I think Notre Dame is going to be a great team to bet in the NIT because they're really going to care. This line just feels too spooky for me. It seems too easy with Notre Dame. That's the side I would take at 15.5, but I wouldn't be surprised if Carolina blows them out. Then we got Bama and Florida. This is one of those ranked games where Bama's the ranked team on the road against unranked Florida, and unranked Florida is favored by 1.5. The total is 175.5. These two teams played about 2.5 weeks ago in Tuscaloosa. The score was like 95-92 or something like that in overtime. Both teams can score. Bama's had a really tough schedule as of late. They've had to play Kentucky. They played Tennessee on Saturday. Now they get Florida. Both of these teams are squarely into the NCAA tournament. The way that I'm betting this game and the way that I'm betting Alabama games moving forward, I would just bet it live. They have the number one offense in college basketball. They have the 100th defense in college basketball. When you have a team that's so good on offense and so good on defense, you're going to have a game of runs. Look at Bama's last two games. They trailed by double digits against Tennessee and Ole Miss in the first half, and then in the second half, they were up double digits in both of those games. They hung on to beat Ole Miss, and they lost to Tennessee, but you're going to get opportunities in this game because of the pace, because of both offenses, and because of both defenses. I think you're going to get great numbers, where it's Bama +7.5, Florida +8.5, whatever it may be. I would wait, bet this game live, get yourself a good number. And then finally, in the Mountain West tonight, we got a good game between Nevada and Boise State. I'll take Nevada +5.5. To me, this is all about a numbers play. Nevada and New Mexico are even teams, according to KenPom. When Boise played New Mexico on Saturday, this line was Boise -3.5. They're playing Nevada tonight, and it's 5.5. Doesn't make much sense. This should be like a 3.5-point spread. I think we're getting some value with Nevada. I'll take the Wolfpack +5. 5.5. Let's go to Model Making Money, talk some NBA, and get some best bets from Kate Constable here on the show. You guys got any questions for Kate, go to twitch.tv/BetQL. You can go to youtube.com/Odyssey Sports and let us know what's on your mind. Kate, before we get into your best bets, what does the BetQL model like for today?
Uh-oh, PJ. The BetQL model does not agree with you on Alabama and Florida. It likes Alabama +2. That's the five-star play. But I'm in agreement with you. This is one of those funky spots where you have a road favorite or a ranked road team that is going up against an unranked home favorite. So tricky spot, but the model's leaning towards Alabama in this one.
All right, we'll see. As I said, I would probably bet that game live, but the model is going with the Tide tonight. Kate, what about you? What are your best bets for tonight?
I love the Pelicans tonight, -9 against the Raptors. The Raptors are going to be without Scottie Barnes, without Jakob Poeltl. They just aren't going to be able to score tonight. Pelicans defense has been decent lately. And I mean, the Pelicans are a pretty good team. They just kind of get overlooked a little bit because they're in a really tough Western Conference. But this is a Raptors team that is just kind of ready for the season to be over. Things have fallen apart. And again, without Poeltl down low, without Scottie Barnes on offense, I don't see how this Raptors team puts up enough points to compete with the Pelicans, who have a ton of offensive weapons in Brandon Ingram and Zion Williamson and CJ McCollum. So I think this is going to be a big win for the Pelicans. They did also beat the Raptors by 38 just a couple weeks ago. So Raptors, or Pelicans rather, -9 tonight.
All right, Kate, so you're on the Pelicans tonight. You know, we talk about all these Western Conference teams. There's been a lot of talk about Minnesota, been a lot of talk about OKC, obviously Denver, the Clippers. Feels like the team that's get forgotten about always is the Pelicans. And they're in the fifth spot right now in the Western Conference. And we all know with them, it's all about Zion. If Zion's not healthy, the Pelicans have no chance. Let's just pretend for a moment that Zion is healthy, Kate. Going into the playoffs, are the Pelicans a team that maybe you would take a chance on in the futures market?
I would maybe take a chance on them to win the Western Conference, but not to win the NBA title. I just don't see this group being a true contender this year. I mean, even if Zion is healthy, like getting past the Denver Nuggets again is going to be really, really tough with Nikola Jokic, who can kind of match up, Aaron Gordon, who can match up with Zion. So I guess now that I'm talking this through and saying this out loud, no, I don't think I would risk a futures on the Pelicans, even if they are fully healthy. I think they're still maybe a year away or so. They've just kind of been up and down and really inconsistent this season. So not a team I would want to put my money on.
Yeah, fair enough. I know it's a big if Zion's going to stay healthy. He's probably
right.
Not. And that's the reason that nobody's talking about the Pelicans. Kate, let me ask you about some more games on the slate tonight. I was going through all the games. I thought it was really interesting. Five of the games tonight, the total is under 220.5. We're so used to NBA games now where the total's in like the 240s. Some of these games are in the 250s. I saw a crazy stat that since NBA All-Star Weekend, the unders are like 64-28 or something like that. They're hitting at a crazy rate, which is why these totals are dropping. So of these games tonight with the low total, if you had to maybe pick an under in one of these, is there a game that you would take?
Yeah, I think I would take the Magic and Hornets under 107. I mean, this is already extremely low, but the Magic's defense has been great. They're number 8 in their last 4 games in defensive rating. And Charlotte, surprisingly enough, is even better. 5th in defensive rating over that span. Grant Williams has really kind of turned that defense around since the trade deadline. And Orlando's offense can be fantastic at times, but it can also go through long stretches of scoring droughts. Shot nearly 60% from the field against the Pistons in their last game and still only finished with 113 points. If you're shooting 60% from the field, you should be putting up a huge number, but that's just not the case with the Magic. So the under in Hornets Magic is something that I'm definitely looking at.
Yeah, I mean, 207.5, Kate. That is a low total. Probably low for good reason. I would agree with you there in that game. Before I let you go, let's talk about the Celtics. I mean, they are, like, historically good this season. They've won 11 games in a row. 6 of those wins are by double digits. They beat the Warriors by about a billion on Sunday. What are you doing with the Celtics, Kate? Like, when we get teams with win streaks like this, it was almost like San Francisco for me in the NFL when they went on that run where they were just beating everybody. And it's like, at this point, for me personally, I've kind of gotten to the party too late that I don't know if I just want to blindly take the Celtics. Celtics every night, but at the same time, I don't know if I really want to fade them either. They're at Cleveland tonight. They got a tough schedule coming up at Denver, at Phoenix. They got some interesting games. What are you doing with the Celtics here moving forward? Is that a team that you would just continue to bet, or is it like a wait and see kind of approach with you?
Yeah, because it's tricky because you want to sell high on teams, and it feels like the Celtics are one of those teams that it's almost time to sell high on. But for now, I'm going to keep playing them, especially in this matchup tonight with Cleveland, because you don't have no Donovan Mitchell in this one tonight, and that's huge. Celtics, you mentioned their wins lately and how much they're winning by. They're also covering. They've covered in their last seven, five of their last six on the road. The way I'm playing them tonight here is in the first half, because they are the best first half team in the league in terms of covering. If you were to bet on their first half every game this year, you'd be up 23 units. They're 8-2 in the Ooh. First half on the road in their last 10. So it is kind of matchup to matchup, PJ, but in a spot where the Cavs are struggling right now. They're not fully healthy. This is a team that the Celtics aren't going to fully overlook, but they are certainly good enough to cover the number. So that's how I'm approaching this tonight. And then it's just kind of be a case-by-case basis going forward.
Yeah, fair enough. I think it's a good handicap. Mitchell out first half. Celtics have been awesome in that spot all year. She's Kate Constable, a host and analyst here on BetQL. Kate, always great insight. We'll talk to you again later in the week.
Sounds good. Thanks, PJ.
For those people who want to continue to bet but don't have the time to research each individual game, you need to download the BetQL app. It ranks each game on a 1 to 5 star scale based on its unbeatable analysis from spreads and over-unders to player props. Stay up to date and bet confidently with BetQL's help. All right, guys, let's talk some golf now. I can't wait for the golf. Tee it up Tuesday, Arnold Palmer Invitational. We got my guy Brian Gertsch filling in for Shawnee Sharp today, rocking a Bay Hill hat. Got me all fired up. This course, man, the field this week, all the stars are out, right? Really, any big-name star that's not on LIV, they're playing this week. Scottie Scheffler, Rory, Xander, Cantlay, Spieth, Morikawa, all of them are teeing it up this week at Bay Hill. And it's a good week to look at course history. Guys that tend to play well here throughout the years tend to always play well here. Of the 44 events on the PGA Tour schedule, this is the third most predictive according to course history. So you play well at Bay Hill through the years, you tend to play well just about every year. And this course is one of the tops where that is true. It's over 7,400 yards long. It's a long golf course. There's water danger everywhere. We're in Florida, so rain's going to be a factor. Wind's going to be a factor most likely this week. You got to be a good long iron player. Again, it's a long golf course. And you're going to have to hit some big boy golf shots into some small greens, some fast greens. You got water, bunkers, penal rough all over the place. So we got to have good ball strikers this week at Bay Hill. And that's a reason why a lot of the great golfers tend to always play well here throughout the years, because it's not quite a major championship type venue, but it's a very hard golf course, especially when that wind is blowing. Scottie Scheffler is your favorite. He's plus 650, and Scottie has been great here in the three times that he has played. He has three top 15 finishes, including a win back in 2022 and a fourth place finish last year. Obviously, the story with Scottie Scheffler right now is his flat stick. His putter is terrible, but man, he is doing everything else well. If Scottie can just putt half as bad as he's been putting this week, he'll probably end up winning the thing. With that being said, I'm never going to most likely bet a plus 650 on a golfer to win a golf tournament, especially this year with all the long shots that have been hitting. I know Scottie won like seven times last year, but this year he hasn't won yet, and I just don't want to dive into betting a golfer plus 650, really anything under like 10, 11 to 1. Rory is another guy. He's plus 900. Always plays well at Bay Hill. Seven straight times Rory has finished tied for 13th or better at this golf course. He's excellent. He uses length. What's great about this golf course is long hitters have won it in the past, short hitters have won it in the past. It really doesn't matter, but it usually favors the longer hitters. Bryson DeChambeau is always great here, and Rory always good here as well. Then we get into my first guy that I like this week, who I'm betting in the outright market, Victor Hovland at 14-1. I just like this golf course for Vic, guys. Again, we want ball strikers. That's Hovland. He finished fourth here last year. You need a good long iron player. That's Victor Hovland as well. If he can make some putts, I certainly think he's got a great chance. I'm also looking at Jordan Spieth. this week at 18-1. Spieth has been really good in the big events this season. Riviera, Waste Management, the Century out in Hawaii. Jordan finished top 10 in all those events. He got disqualified at Riviera, but he was in contention before he filled out a bad scorecard. He gave himself a wrong number on a hole, and that's why he got disqualified. But before that, he was playing really good golf. He's playing well in the good events, and he's played well here in the past. He's only played here twice, finished fourth in both of those appearances. I think Jordan could be worth a look this week at 18-1. Then a couple other guys I like, Matt Fitzpatrick and Will Zalatoris. Matty Fitz, again, if you're just talking course history, man, this dude loves this golf course. Five straight top 15 finishes for Matty Fitz, and four of those five, he's finished in the top 10. This is a golf course that really fits his game well. And then Will Zalatoris is another guy. For me, Riviera and Bay Hill are a little bit of comps in the sense that you need good ball strikers. Riviera, there's no water. Bay Hill, there is plenty of water, but I'm taking ball strikers. I think Willie Z, who was in contention at Riviera, could be in contention again this week. And then a long shot, if I'm looking at a guy, give me Keegan Bradley at 55-1. Keegan always plays courses like this well, where you have to drive the ball in the fairway. The penal rough is really a killer. The Bermuda greens, fast and firm. Decent win player, and he's played well here the last three tries. He's finished 10th, 11th, and 10th. So you can get a good price on Keegan this week, top 10, top 20. He's a long shot that I would look at 55-1. If I'm filling out a card, my top 10 would be Rory at minus 110, Victor Hovland plus 130, and Jordan Spieth at plus 130. And then give me Cam Young, minus 120 in the top 20 we didn't discuss. Cam Young has played great here the last couple of years, and he's very quietly playing some good golf. Give me Matt Fitzpatrick, minus 120, and give me Keegan Bradley at plus 140 to finish in the top 20. And then the guys that I like to win this week, Victor Hovland, Will Zalatoris, Keegan Bradley at 55-1. To wrap up the show now, PJ's plays here on Send It In. I see we got some questions coming in on the chat. Beef underscore VZ wants to know about the San Diego State and UNLV game. Beef, I like where your head's at. We're going to talk about that game here in a moment. Parley Parley 69 fade in the 76ers. Tyrese Maxey has been ruled out. What would PJ do? You know, Parley, the thing about the NBA that always gets me worried is games where the stars are out, I tend to almost lean towards that team, right? Giannis was out for the Bucks last night, and the Bucks end up winning that game against the Clippers. Like, that's just how the NBA works. Sometimes when these stars are out, Brunson gets banged up in the early minutes of that game against the Knicks. They go on the road, and they beat Cleveland. Sometimes it's just how the NBA works. So conventional thinking would have you be like, Maxey's out. Like, yeah, no chance I'm betting on the Sixers tonight. Let's wait to see where that spread kind of balloons to tonight, and I could be interested in maybe backing the Sixers. I'll tell you guys what I am interested in, though. How about our prop lock last night? John Collins, over 10.5 rebounds, had 15. Absolutely love to see that. We're taking Victor Wembanyama over 3.5 blocks tonight against the Rockets. Wembanyama has had 4 or more blocks in 6 straight games and 7 of his last 8. It's just insane how many blocks this guy is having night after night after night. Gotta lay some juice at minus 140, but I think it's worthy of it. Over 3.5 blocks for Victor Wembanyama tonight. My stay away game, Beef underscore VZ, this is for you, my friend. I'm not touching that San Diego State UNLV game. That feels like a trap to me. It could only be UNLV. That's what the line is telling you. All these teams in the Mountain West that might make the conference tournament, and the team that's right in there in the thick of it that doesn't have a chance unless they probably win their conference tournament is UNLV. They're having a nice season in conference play. Could be a tricky game for the Aztecs. Maybe sprinkle some overtime as well. You guys know I love a good overtime bet. That game feels like it's coming right down the wire. We'll take Notre Dame tonight plus the 15.5 against North Carolina. I was talking about this game earlier. The spread is freaking me out a little bit. The fact that UNC in their last 7 wins has not beaten anybody by 16 or more points. On the flip side, Notre Dame has won 5 of their last 6 games. So we have a Notre Dame team that comes in red hot. Mike Strewsbury's team is playing their best basketball right now as we head into March. And then on the flip side, Carolina's winning games, but they're really not beating anybody badly. Certainly not by 16 or more points. And of course, they got another game with Duke coming up on Saturday. So you got to imagine there's a little bit of look ahead for Carolina. Notre Dame's coming into town, feeling good about where their game's at. Five of those last six wins that Notre Dame has had, four of them have come at home. So they've been doing really good things in South Bend. We'll see if that carries over on the road. This might be one of those trap games where I'm suckered into it, but I could only take Notre Dame. 15.5 is a lot of points, especially with Duke on deck for UNC. I'll take the Irish plus the points. And then my best bet is going to be Georgetown, +7.5 against Providence. Another game where I love the spot. I'm fading Providence. Their last two games were against Marquette and against Villanova. That Villanova game might have been a dream crusher type game for Providence. That game was so important for the bubble. But after that Villanova game, Providence looks at their schedule and they see that they have UConn on Saturday at home. That atmosphere in Providence is going to be unbelievable. UConn already has the Big East regular season title wrapped up. So even though they're probably going to play Providence as hard as they would any other game, certainly with that in the back of their mind, knowing that essentially there's really nothing to play for, they're going to be a number one seed in the tournament. They're going to be the number one seed in the Big East tournament. And for Providence, that game is everything. What does Providence have to do? All they have to do is get past Georgetown. You don't think Ed Cooley wants to ruin his former school's tournament hopes? Seems perfect for college basketball, doesn't? Give me Georgetown +7.5. Take some money line as well. To recap, our best bets for today. My prop lock is going to be Victor Wembanyama over 3.5 blocks at -140. Four more blocks in six of his last seven games. For Victor, our stay-away game is going to be San Diego State and UNLV. Notre Dame +15.5 against North Carolina is going to be my dog of the day. And give me Georgetown. The Fighting Ed Cooley's is going to end his former school's tournament hopes tonight. Georgetown plus the points. Georgetown money line as well. Good luck to you tonight on all your bets.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Old school security kicks in after the break-in. Too late. Simply Safe rewinds the story, stopping crime before it starts. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to detect intruders, alert live monitoring agents, and can deter intruders before they reach your door. It's proactive protection, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee and no contracts. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplysafe.com/podcast. That's simplysafe.com/podcast. There's no safe like Simply Safe.